This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know about, well, the story behind the book. And today we have a story. But at the bottom of the hour, I just want to remind you, Mary Glickman is going to be joining me, and we're going to be talking about By the Rivers of Babylon. But right now, I get to turn to somebody who is a very happy person. Catherine Williams is an editor for Nat Geo. And when you are an editor for Nat Geo, whoa, you must wake up just with a smile on your face. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, how are you?
Okay. Well, I always say that if, you know, everybody always says to their kids, you know, grow up to be a doctor or a lawyer, I don't know, something. But I think people should say, grow up to work for Nat Geo, because not only will you have fun on your job, you just, well, there's so many things to smile about all day.
Yeah, I feel like I never really did grow up, because I am learning new things every day and looking at pictures of animals all day and making books for kids. So I feel kind of like a kid still.
Well, definitely. And with this book today, it's called Weird But True, Sharks. Oh, wow. What a great book.
Yeah, it's got 300 weird facts in it, all about sharks that are tiny, the size of a piece of toast, all the way to the whale shark, which is the biggest fish in the ocean.
Well, if you were a shark, what shark would you be?
I haven't gotten that question. I think I'd be a hammerhead shark.
Oh, no, that's me too. Oh! Oh, that's funny, because my dad was in the lumber business. So
I just like them. That's why I picked that one.
Oh, that's cool. I think so many people, they would pick tiger sharks, because they're pretty. But I love the hammerhead, too. It's my favorite one.
Yeah, they're really cool. And there's like a bunch of different types of hammerheads, so we could be different types. And they have like slightly different shaped heads.
Well, it reminds me of one of the lovely things about Nat Geo when you do jokes. And I love, there's so many things that you do for kids with your books. Not just tell the story about the animal, but all the side little bits that you give, the info facts and factoids, that are so, they stick with you. And I think as a homeschool mom for many years, there's nothing better than a Nat Geo book.
Yeah, we try to make it really fun for kids, so that for them, learning and entertainment are kind of synonymous. They're like, it's all part of it. So we want kids to get really curious about stuff. We do a lot of puns. We make a lot of jokes. A lot of the illustrations in this book are silly, alongside really cool photos. So we try to make it fun and not feel too much like a really serious book, a textbook you might read in school.
Well, but I think one of the wonderful things about Nat Geo books, they do open people's eyes to a subject. And I have a feeling a lot of kids come away from this saying, whoa, this is something I would like to study about.
Yeah, that's what we hope, to get kids kind of hooked with these weird facts that are that just make you think like, wow, that can't be true, and then maybe do a little more research, think about it a little more, and learn a lot more about sharks, and then maybe they'll go on to study the ocean and see the sharks for themselves.
And if nothing else, become aware of the value of sharks and be interested in conservation.
Oh, totally. Sharks are super important, and I know a lot of people are scared of them, and because, you know, to some degree, rightfully so, although it's very rare to be attacked by a shark, but sharks are really important to the ecosystem. They're predators. They keep ocean ecosystems in balance, and we're a lot more of a danger to them than they are to us, so it's important to care for them and conserve them.
So in addition to knowing that sharks don't blink, which is funny, what else did you find weird and wonderful about sharks?
Oh, there's all kinds of stuff. One of the coolest sharks we have is, there's a shark called the Ninja Lantern Shark, which I just think is a great name for anything. And it glows a little bit. So the ocean where it lives has a dim lighting. So you can still see a little bit. It's kind of dark. And so this shark glows so that it matches the same lighting as the ocean. And it can use that glow to sneak up on prey and eat fish. So it's very appropriately named the Ninja Lantern Shark.
Well, they have really their ability to lose teeth and get teeth back. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, they have all kinds of what we might consider superpowers. So they go through so many teeth in their lifetimes. I think one of the facts is, you know, every couple weeks they might have a new tooth come up. Sharks can also, some of them can sense Earth's magnetic field and use that to navigate really long distances. Some sharks, or all sharks, can sense electrical currents. So all fish have these electrical signals they send off, and sharks can just sense when another living creature is nearby, which makes them really good hunters. So they have all of these skills that are just super, super cool.
Well, like the American pocket shark, it also puts out some kind of a goo that is noticeable.
Yeah. Yeah, there's all kinds of just bizarre sharks in here. And we have the kind of the classic, we have a lot of great white bull shark, tiger shark stuff that kids will have heard of before. But we also have just like very strange and obscure sharks. There's hundreds of types of sharks, so there's maybe a lot more than people expect to them.
Well, it is interesting that, sea animals do create light and around them, so that I thought that was so interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely not unique to sharks. Jellyfish, all kinds of sea creatures create light. They live in a totally different world than us in the ocean that's dark, and some of them emit light that humans can't see with our eyes, but they use it to communicate with each other or to get prey in all kinds of ways. So it is very cool that they can do that.
So you haven't been invited by any of the Nat Geo photographers to join them in a cage? Duh.
No, I haven't. And, you know, I might have not wanted to do that, but after editing this book, I'm, like, very interested in sharks, and I think I would do it. I would take the dive.
Well, yeah, you know, I don't know if I'd do it, but it is maybe sort of get up close and personal. We have a lot here. You know, I'm in Florida, so we have a lot of sharks around. You know, for you, you'd get it free. I think they charge a fortune to do it.
I'm sure.
We're off the coast here, so it's absolutely so wonderful that Nat Geo does this type of thing for young people. Because, as I said, when I was homeschooling, I turned so much to Nat Geo books for my kids because they do open up a kid's eyes, and they are intriguing, and you never know. Just recently, I was talking to somebody whose daughter, partly, you know, because of I think the talk over the years with Nat Geo books here on the program, is now interested in working with elephants. So, you know, these things happen because of Nat Geo, and for me, Nat Geo will change my life, because I was raised in northern Michigan, in snow country, long, long winters. And our happiest moment was when we'd get a Nat Geo magazine in the mail, and that was with the yellow border. It was like getting sunlight into our lives. And we started dreaming of all the places that we read about in our Nat Geo magazines.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's what we hope. Yeah, you never know what one fact or image or something will really ignite that passion in a kid and change their lives.
Well, you know, I do support Nat Geo in so many ways. I have, over the years, first of all, I have on my website a complete dedicated page to Nat Geo. And I want to play a little promo I did for you, just for you today.
Oh, wow.
So listen to it, and I think I'd like to hear your comments.
Mother's Day. A National Geographic Gift Day here at Joy on Paper. Flowers and candy are great gifts for mom, but add a gift that will last long after her big day. A National Geographic is always a perfect gift, whatever her interests. There's a book for her. Does she like traveling? Then Journey of a Lifetime, 500 of the World's Greatest Trips, is a perfect gift. Does she like animals? Then Mother's Love, Inspiring Stories from the Animal Kingdom, is perfect. From Nat Geo award-winning animal photographers comes a collection of the most moving and intimate portraits of animal mothers and their babies. Each photo shows animal moms as they are in nature, playing, teaching, and hugging their young. Sprinkled throughout are quotes like Abraham Lincoln's inspiring words, "All I am, I owe to my angel mother." Plus unbelievable true stories of maternal heroism, like the mother duck from Vancouver, who persuaded a human passerby to rescue her duckling from a storm drain. There is always a perfect Nat Geo book for everyone. Ballet, cooking, camping. This Mother's Day, give your mom a book that she will treasure. A National Geographic book is a gift of love.
Okay. Are you still there?
I love it.
Well, that's how I feel about Nat Geo books, and that's why I love to encourage people to buy them. I've officially made a November Nat Geo gift-giving time, because I think that on Thanksgiving, everybody should bring a Nat Geo book when they go over to somebody's house for Thanksgiving dinner.
I can't argue with that. I love it.
Well, you know, As I said, this book is lovely. All of the books, now that summer's coming up, I will be promoting a lot of Nat Geo books for homeschool groups. And it's so wonderful that now that the pandemic is over, I can go back to one of the things I like to do is to talk to homeschool groups, visit them, help with their curriculum, talk about how I raised my boys to the point that they could, they got full scholarships, partly because of Nat Geo and the books that they read while I was teaching them. So I get this opportunity now that we can all go out there and get and meet people to promote Nat Geo, because I am so grateful. Every day I am really grateful, and I still have a lot of my father's magazines, the ones that he ordered for us, going back into the 1950s, because Nat Geo is just a very, very important thing for me to promote.
That's so awesome to hear. We're grateful for you. We love our readers and fans and love hearing from them.
Well, I think you're terrific, and I think that this book is lovely. And again, when people are thinking about gifts for mothers, there's definitely a book for there's a book for every interest that you have. Nat Geo's covered it.
Absolutely.
So, what book would you recommend for Mother's Day?
For Mother's Day, we have actually, especially for new mothers, we have a book called Hey Baby, and it is, the kids team made it, but it's not necessarily for children, and it's got beautiful lyrical text and adorable images of baby animals, and it's just very sweet and very beautiful book, so I would recommend that one for Mother's Day.
And what did you discover about shark babies? What is shark
The shark baby world is a wild place. Sometimes the little sharks, they swim around in their mother's bodies before they're even born.
Well, it is fascinating. And as always, the photography is amazing. It is just, you can spend hours, and I think people, even for adults, will spend hours going through the book. They'll take it away from the little kids and say, go away, I'm reading the book. Because it's so much fun to just pick it up and go through the different pages and read about the sharks and discover things that you don't know. And then also you just fall in love, really, with animals that you didn't expect to fall in love with. And they are just, it's a fascinating book. So you've done a wonderful job, as always, at Nat Geo. And Catherine Williams, one of the things I want to make sure is that to tell people and about your kids' website, the Nat Geo Kids. It is a wonderful website.
Yep. Yeah, we have all kinds of stuff, animal facts and videos and games and stuff like that at kids.nationalgeographic.com.
So, you know, as I said at the beginning, you really have a fantastic job, don't you?
I do. It's wonderful. So, I learn every day.
So all of you editors get together and you say, we're so lucky, because because you really are. And I love this series that you're doing, the weird but true books. And this one is for sharks, but you do for lots of things. And it is a way to get kids interested in science and interested in reading, because everything is laid out just perfectly. Just the, sort of these snippets and these short factoids, I think, are just perfect for kids. So you've done a wonderful, wonderful job, Catherine, and I want to thank Nat Geo and just say hi to all of the editors over there and tell them again about this promo that we've doing for Mother's Day. And we will be playing it today, and we'll be playing it for years because Nat Geo, you know, Nat Geo books don't go out of style or out of print. You can always get one. And again, thank you so much for joining me today, Catherine. I think you're fantastic, and everyone at Nat Geo, I'm very grateful to you.
Thank you. I'll tell them all hello. This was wonderful.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Bye.
Bye.
Wow. As I said, this is a Nat Geo. What, you can't go wrong. If you're going to give a gift for Mother's Day, if you have a, if you know a particular subject that they are interested in, wow, there's a book for them. The ballet book is absolutely gorgeous, and also the wonderful getaways. Their getaway books are fantastic. Getaway to Europe. That one's one of my favorite. And in a minute, we're going to play a book buzz. And this is a very special book buzz. We played it a little while back, a few weeks ago. But I want to play it again because, well, you know, I sent a message to the author of this book. Devon Miller did a book buzz for a book written by Dolly Parton. And I'm hoping maybe one of her people, I don't know if she would listen to Joy on Vapor, but she loves books. And if she loves books, she should definitely be listening to Joy on Paper, because that's what we do here. And she, of course, is a big, big book promoter. But I wanted her to know that we love her here at Joy on Paper. And so I sent a message to her people, and I'm hoping that perhaps one of them will be listening today and hear this book buzz by Devon Miller, who is just a wonderful young man. He spent a lot of time in the hospital when he was young, and he learned the love of reading and the need for reading. And now his job as a Sunshine Ambassador here in St. Petersburg is to help promote books for children. So I'm going to play his book buzz. And just in case, Dolly Parton, if you're listening, I can tell you, we love you here. I would hope that maybe you would want to be on Joy on Paper. That would be a big kick. But here's the book buzz from Devon Miller. And then we're going to have some commercials. And I'll be back with Mary Glickman. And this is a fascinating book set in the South. And books set in the South are always intriguing to me. Okay, here we go with Devon Miller.
Hey! Hey everyone, it's Devon Miller, author and illustrator of the Mr. Tickety Tock Clock children's book series, reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest on children's book buzz. She's one of the most honored and respected female singer-songwriters of all time, and has been inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, is none other than Dolly Parton. She's donated over 200 million books to children worldwide from her imagination library, and now she has a new book of her own she'd like to share worldwide, which is called Billy the Kid Makes It Big. Written by Dolly Parton alongside Erica S. Pearl, the book was illustrated by Mackenzie Haley. Billy the Kid, who's a French bulldog, loves country music. Because of his love, he sets out to go to Nashville to sing his heart out. However, he later meets some bullies at the Battle of the Bow Wows, and he worries that he's barking up the wrong tree. Now Billy needs help from some new friends and a few country tunes to become the star he knew he could be. While Billy sets out to be a star in the book itself is already a star, as it became the number one bestseller in children's country life books on Amazon. The book is all about instilling confidence in kids. Dolly hopes that children learn to go after their dreams and also accept the differences of others. Inspired by her manager's dog, who's now her god dog, Billy the Kid stars in Dolly Parton's third children's book she's written. Dolly has hinted that the book may turn into a series where we'll see more adventures from Billy and his friends, which I think kids will love. This is Devon Miller reporting for Joy on Paper. For more book buzz involving children's books and authors, head on over to radio-joyonpaper.com and click on Devon Miller's Book Buzzes. I think it's about time that I buzz out now.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Mother's Day is a National Geographic gift day here at Joy on Paper. Flowers and candy are great gifts for mom, but add a gift that will last long after her big day. A National Geographic is always a perfect gift, whatever her interests. There's a book for her. Does she like traveling? Then Journey of a Lifetime, 500 of the World's Greatest Trips, is a perfect gift. Does she like animals? Then Mother's Love, Inspiring Stories from the Animal Kingdom, is perfect. From Nat Geo Award-winning Animal Photographers comes a collection of the most moving and intimate portraits of animal mothers and their babies. Each photo shows animal moms as they are in nature, playing, teaching, and hugging their young. Sprinkled throughout are quotes like Abraham Lincoln's inspiring words, "All I am, I owe to my angel mother." Plus unbelievable true stories of maternal heroism, like the mother duck from Vancouver, who persuaded a human passerby to rescue her duckling from a storm drain. There is always a perfect Nat Geo book for everyone. Ballet, cooking, camping. This Mother's Day, give your mom a book that she will treasure. A National Geographic book is a gift of love.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
Are you an author? An artist? An inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I am back with my next guest, Mary Glickman, and the name of her book is By the Rivers of Babylon. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Patsy. Thank you for having me.
Well, I am so happy to welcome you to Joy on Paper. So happy that I'm going to play a little song for you, okay?
Oh, how cute.
Walking boss, walking boss, walking boss. Well, I don't belong to you. I belong to that steel driving crew. Work one day.
Okay, Mary.
Oh, and that's the Doc Watson version, I believe.
Uh-huh, it is.
Yeah. Which a lot of people know the Jerry Garcia.
I don't know
the Doc Watson.
I prefer this version. I love
Me
it.
Too. Me too.
Well, I thought it would set the right tone for talking about this book, because right. By the Rivers of Babylon is definitely a Southern book.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, ma'am.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's so funny. When I was young, I read every book that I could. I read American books. I read a lot of English books, English authors, French authors, Russian authors, Chinese authors, but I could not read Southern books for some
really?
Strange reason.
Really?
And so
no, well, Flannery O'Connor.
No, and it was so funny. Now, when I talk about my time of reading, I was reading from, you know, these books up to the age of 14. But then somewhere right. around that age of 14, I read my first Faulkner. And so that changes after you get your toe in Southern writing. It is different.
Well, it is. And I think personally, I believe that comes from the fact that Southerners are traditionally oral storytellers, and you know, and so that the storytelling craft is deeply ingrained in the Southern ear, and it's from your ear that you write.
And I write from the first page when you start writing. It is, you capture that voice. I just loved it. I love that opening.
Well, I've been working on that voice for a while,
and you know, just. you know, for people who have not been where there are these bridges across the bayous and bridges across intercoastal, they don't have this understanding of what it is to drive up to a bridge and see you know, you're going to be waiting there.
Right.
And then you capture that feeling and the voice of the people.
Wow.
I thought it was wonderful, and I immediately actually did start thinking of Faulkner, because like him, there's something baffling about the story, confusing, and it's complex, like a Faulkner, and of course, brilliant.
Oh, shucks, thank you. I think you were born to read me, Patsy.
I think I was because once you start reading, your writing is, it captures the essence of the South, and I think you start hearing it in your head as you're reading. You hear that sound, the more lilting sound, the perhaps a little bit slower when some people are talking. I found it mesmerizing.
Oh, I'm so glad. Well, you know, one of the reasons that I wrote this book was because I live here. I consider myself a Yankee by birth, a Southerner by choice. And it disturbed me that in the news and, you know, on television and Hollywood, that the image of the Southerner is always so dark. And it didn't reflect. The Hollywood version of the Southerner didn't reflect the South I knew. So I thought I would redeem the South in the public image in my own small way by writing this novel.
Well, Exactly. You know, I think that's why for when I was younger, I was turned off by the images I got from Hollywood of the South. Right. And it took quite a while until I got immersed into the writing and into the really the... it is so... When you're reading a book set in the South, you really, I think something happens to your heart rate. It changes or something. And By the Rivers of Babylon, explain this, the premise for the story, because when you have, for Northerners, that they are leaving the North and going to the South, they do expect a completely different world.
Right. And, well, they get one, but it's not the completely different world they expected. It's you know, I think that they have one culture, a little culture shock after another, but curiously they find they like them. And, you know, things would have gone very well for them if it hadn't been for the fact that the wife there, Abigail, is a bit of a troublesome character.
Well, Joe and Abigail are from Boston. They're Jewish.
Right.
They really are coming to something that is different, certainly from Boston. And they have their voice just in speaking is different. And so sometimes when you be writing, I think of her talking with a Boston accent and then being immersed here in the South.
Well, I tried to achieve that effect, and I'm so glad to be validated. Thank you.
Well, it works. It works. So tell us more about, you know, one of the things about this, and when I mentioned the word baffling, this book takes, it takes twists and it takes turns and unexpected. I was not expecting, I don't think I expected what I got. It was a very pleasant surprise. And we don't want to tell people that where the changes were, but they developed gradually and in a way, sort of in a Falcon-esque manner, where because he would always put these little things in that would lead us, down the road, down a dusty road. Usually,
the old breadcrumbs.
That's right. but you did it, and I'll tell you from. I started to get a tingle the minute you started to describe Abigail on the bridge, standing on the bridge. From that minute, I knew something was going electric was going to happen to this story.
Well, and I think it does.
It does.
Yeah, I'll tell you something odd, perhaps, about the construction of the story, if you like.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I wrote it twice. I wrote it the first time I wrote it. It ended, shall I say, shortly after the Rosh Hashanah experience. And then I realized that, and Peter, my agent, was out there submitting it, and then I realized I wasn't done. And I started it again from a critical point and moved forward with the second half or third. So that plotting probably snuck up on me, too.
Well, it's fascinating how a story can evolve as characters evolve. Writers take on these people in their minds who become very real to them.
Oh, yeah.
And there's this, the way that they evolve, the story evolves, isn't always expected.
No, well, people surprise you all the time. The thing about the characters, though, in this, it's kind of amusing, is that I modeled it. I won't say I based it. I won't say it was inspired by, perhaps is a better word than modeled, by the place where I live, naturally, on John's Island. And I took some of the characters in this story. I didn't base them on individuals, but I created amalgams, and they all had the values that I see around me. Now, and there were our venues in the story that are... pretty close to reality, and there, of course, are the musicians in it, but who are based in reality. But what was odd is that now that it's out, and now that a bunch of my neighbors and friends have read it, people will come up to me and say, "Oh, I hope you didn't make me the chubby girl by the fire pit," or they say, "Well, couple of the men have come up and say, well, I know I must be Billy Houston.
They wish.
And that's pretty funny. Yeah.
Well,
but character, you know, as the Greeks say, character drives plot and character is fate. And so to me, in writing, the most important thing is to get the characters right, and then everything else will fall in place.
Well, Billy is such a character. He's so real. He's so full-blown. He comes like he's real. I kept thinking to myself, but this is a real guy. You know, it's marvelous how you do this.
Well, he's, you know, he's a bad boy, but he's also has his charm, and people like him. So, you know, I find that's true in life all the time.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're a fantastic writer, and you've written, you know, some just marvelous books. But of all the books the ones that I've read of your books, this is the most cinematic. I mean, I was like, what? Oh. You know, this is, I just kept
from
thinking,
your mouth, as they say.
Well, you know, it happens. It's very funny. I've had some over the years when I've, you know, talked about books and, you know, talked to authors, I've seen the film in my head. You know, this comes from, mm-hmm. you know, working in Hollywood and, you know, adapting some books to, you know, into scripts,
yeah.
and writing my own scripts. I see, when I see it, it's sort of like where the crawdads sing. You know, I see this as a film. And for one point when, which scene was it? I was reading and I was thinking, I had to stop myself and say, this is not a movie. You're reading a book. And I was like, I almost wanted to knock myself on the head with the book and say, it's not a movie. You're really reading the book.
Well, all I can say is if you know anybody.
Well, you know, I have a feeling, you know, I always tell people when I get this feeling for a book that if they get a deal, they have to, not only they have to come on Joy and Paper to break the news, because, you know, I don't get a lot of breaking news. I mean, as somebody on the radio, you know, you always love to have breaking news. I don't have any breaking news. But I would love when you get a deal for you to come on the program and announce it. And then I insist.
One of the happiest days of my life.
Exactly, because it would be. And I insist that you invite me to the premiere.
Absolutely.
You know, some books I can see immediately going to streaming, you know, video.
Uh-huh.
But this one with the characters you have, Abigail, the actress who plays Abigail, and the one who plays Billy.
You know what, though? I can't think of one pretty enough.
No, there isn't. You know, I was saying that. This is, as a matter of fact, one of the great ways, you know, and I know your agent, and he's listening, I hope, and I'm telling him one of the things that a way to really get publicity for this book is to do a casting call of your own. Just say, I am the author of this book, but I don't see one actress out there beautiful enough to play Abigail, and I would like to start casting this movie before it's even picked up, before anyone options it. I want to pick the actress. Now, this would get you such publicity.
It would.
This is nowadays, okay. You have to do things out of the box. You cannot think.
No.
You cannot wait for them to come to you.
I know that, but it's you know, I grew up, I'm not a young woman, and I grew up in my image of what authors did was kind of based on, you know, the last 5 minutes of the Johnny Carson show when he would interview authors. Nobody does that anymore.
No, nobody does it.
And New York Times reviews, which aren't even very important anymore. And all of the goals that I used to have, I think they culturally have disappeared.
They've all disappeared.
And it's a new world. I'm not sure. You know, part of me says it's hard enough to sit down and write the book. I don't know how to do all these other things.
Well,
but
you
try. I try the best.
You have.
Can.
Well, you're very good. You look very good on camera, and I love seeing you climb on your horse. One of the things, you know, I know it's a shame, but it's wonderful that you have this this background. Mm-hmm. And when I see a book like this, and I really want, it's so difficult nowadays to get the notice that you need. Mary Higgins Clark was on the program many times, and she told me how wonderful, you know, in the early years, they would send her out on these magnificent first-class tours, first-class tickets. Right. They would send an assistant with her to help her, you know, navigate the airport, get to the hotel, get to the location for the interview. You know, really everything top class. And then it dwindled over the years. And by the end, she said, they said, well, if you go on tour, give us your, you know, send us your ticket and we'll refund you. And she said, this is not, I'm not going to do that. She didn't say, I'm Mary Higgins Clark and I don't do that. But she said, you know, this is, it got ridiculous. And so authors don't get this kind of action on the part of publishers anymore, and you have to do you have to have a platform, you have a website, and you have
such as it is
but it has to be, there has to be action, and this is why I've more and more looked at ways for people to get this notice that they need, because if I was in Hollywood and and I'm looking for product, we always call it product. We need a new product. Right. We need a new product. Well, I mean, if they're looking, they've got it here. They've got it here in Mary Glickman's By the Rivers of Babylon. It's beautiful, beautifully written. I mean, you're award-winning author, so we don't have to worry about that. And actually, the nice thing, you know, one of the things that I thought when I was reading the book, my goodness, as somebody who's taken people's books and adapted them into scripts, I did one book, and I worked very hard on taking this person's book, making it into a script, and when it was finished, the author read the script, and he sort of looked at me, and he said, but you haven't used my... I felt so bad. I said, "No, I used about 200 of your words. Those were perfect."
Right.
and well, I had no choice. But in your book, you have dialogue that you can take straight from the book and put it in a script. It's perfect.
Well, I did want to be an actress when I was 17, so maybe there's some of that in there.
But,
you know, I was, I did have a film contract, option on my first novel, Home in the Morning, and, you know, it never got produced.
I know.
Which is what happens to most of them. But at one point, I met one of the producers, and he said, you know, we're changing your story. We're going to start it here instead of where you started. Blah, blah, blah. He says, I hope you aren't offended. And I said, look, it's not my... Once you publish a book, it's no longer yours. It belongs to whoever reads it, whoever decides what they want to do with it. And I said, you know, the worst thing that happens, I figure, is I would go to a premiere and I'd be walking out and everybody would be saying, gee, the book was better. this seems like a win-win to me.
Well, I can tell you, I would not, as a scriptwriter, I would not change that opening scene for anything. It is absolutely fantastic. And there is so much, really, as we would say, usable dialogue. We could actually use we can use the author's words. My gosh, that's startling idea. One of the things is that you do have these twists. You do have the ambiguities at the beginning, so we don't know exactly what's going to happen, which makes for a good script. I mean, that's what we want. We want some surprises. It's complex. It's confusing. But we're headed for the payoff. And in this book, the payoff is it's absolutely a surprise at the end. And I thought, I loved it. I loved it.
Well, you know, when I conceived of that ending early on, and I just had to figure out how to get there. And as I did, I kept saying, oh, God, I hope people buy this. I hope people buy this. And lo and behold, they do.
They do.
Find it perfectly acceptable.
Well, this is why the book is so great. It unfolds in a nice, natural rhythm. You bring in with the music, and I love banjos. I just love banjos. My father played a banjo. He played the ukulele and the banjo, and I loved it. And you've brought in the music. So that's very important for a Southern book. You need to have that feel. That's why I wanted to play at the beginning, so people already get that taste, the flavor. And you got that in the book. And then your imagery, well, I'm not even going to go there because you're brilliant at that. We could talk, about your literary talents, your ability to do metaphors. They just must pour out of you. Metaphors are your middle name.
Well, you know, the South itself is really great on metaphors. That's one of the things I love about the South, is in a conversation with someone, you know, you'll hear expressions you don't hear anywhere else. And, as a, quote, student of language, that attracted to me right away 35 years ago when I first came here. And, for example, when some woman is talking about how a man has troubled her, she'll say something like, I did everything but hang on a cross for that man. And where else would you hear that?
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. It's so beautiful. It's so fantastic. Your writing is absolutely terrific. And you've done a beautiful job with this book. And it is called By the Rivers of Babylon. And it is by Mary Glickman, who also, I just want to mention that, your book, An Undisturbed Peace, is a heart-wrenching book, an absolutely heart-wrenching book. I don't know if they could make a film of that one. It's
it is what it is.
Yeah, they probably ruin one, it. But
I have one hopefully coming out the end of this year, a new one, the end of this year, beginning of next. It's planned for that. You know, these things in publishing, it could always get bumped till the spring or the summer, for all I know. But it's based on the Leo Frank case, which maybe you know or you don't know, but it was a famous lynching in 1916 of a factory manager, a Jewish factory manager.
Yes, I know it. Yeah.
Yeah, and the play Parade is based on it as well, which is in the news lately. But no, that's that one. I hope you read that one too.
Well, I will.
I think that one's my best ever.
A new baby for you, exactly.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
Well, you've done a beautiful job. Your website is really easy, Mary Glickman.
Thank you.
You can't.
Thank you.
And there's, people can find it there. Of course, they can find this book wherever books are sold, if books are sold anymore.
Yeah,
which is sad.
But Amazon will be happy to bring it to your door.
That's right. They'll bring it right to you. And and meanwhile, you're there in a lovely place with your neighbors all trying to figure out where they fit in this book. And then if they film it, will they be hired as extras?
Oh, wouldn't that be fun?
Now, that will make you a real, you're already a star of the island.
That would make me an icon.
Oh, boy. If you get them in a film, they will be happy. Of course, you know, knowing Hollywood, they'll probably go someplace like Romania to film it. I mean, you never know. But
wherever the tax break is good.
No, actually, South Carolina has great tax break, unlike Florida. We used to have a great tax break. I one time just held in my hand a tax break for $4.3 million, and I looked at it and I thought, oh my goodness, it's almost like real money. tax break for $4.3 million. And then what happened? The stock market crashed.
The movie didn't get made.
Well, the stock market crashed.
Oh, it was 2008?
Yeah, 2008. October 2008. One hand, I have tax credit for $4.2 million. Other hand, I have investors, and then down the drain. But that's, that's Hollywood. But with them,
that's showbiz.
That's showbiz. That's it. And I hope that someone will pick up By the Rivers of Babylon, and Peter, who is listening, I mean,
wonderful.
Yes, you're very lucky to have Peter.
I am indeed.
You know, as they say, an agent is worth his weight in gold, and so that's Peter.
Peter's worth his weight in platinum.
Oh, wow. Oh, now
that. And he's not a short man.
That's true. Okay. Well, Mary, it's been a joy to talk to you. As soon as Peter has a release date for the next book, I will have you back here on Joy on Paper. And meanwhile,
terrific.
People, really immerse yourself. You can. It's like a Faulkner novel. You have to immerse yourself. You have to immerse yourself in the richness and the powerful language, and you have to just open yourself up to the sounds and the rhythms, and you will delight. Really, you will delight in Mary's writing because, wow, when you talk about imagery, we're talking, Mary is a master at it. So, again, Mary, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today.
Thank you so much, Kathy. It's been wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Wow. Mary Glickman. She is a powerful writer. You know, when you get to the point where you are so strong as a writer, and every word you write is just fantastic, she's in a great place, and she's a wonderful, wonderful person. And as I said, with this book, you will enjoy this book. And then go back and read the book about the Trail of Tears. It's called An Undisturbed Peace. And, well, it'll make you cry. It's a Trail of Tears, I think, when you read the book. But it's an important book and one that I think a lot of people will enjoy. And we can say we hope we will see her in the movies. Because remember, people, this is what I'm always talking about, finding that joy on paper. Because one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, to hear them spoken in an audible book, or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture or a streaming video. Like I am hoping for Carol J. Perry and her books. Oh, especially the ones set here in Florida. I could be an extra. If they filmed it here in Florida, I could be an extra. She would let me be an extra in... Oh, wouldn't that be fantastic? Haunted Haven Mysteries. Hey, Hollywood, come in over here and let's film Carol J. Perry's series. Anyway, everybody say something nice to somebody. Today I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed. You did a brilliant job of recording the Nat Geo promo for Mother's Day. Get a Nat Geo book for Mother's Day, people. Okay, bye-bye now.